Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 263. My name is Kevin DeFrango. With me this week is Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, Kevin?
Well, now that we've gotten yet another technical glitch out of the way, I'm feeling a little bit better. Although I was hoping for something better to watch on TV during this than the Texas Rangers against the New York Yankees. Oh, geez, you're I only put myself through it when I'm in live attendance.
Right.
I would have watched a show like Heat, but Main Event just has so much other stuff going on then. Like, I'm not sure how much SmackDown was on when Heat was on.
Right. Oh, they...
You know...
A year later?
And they've made Raw an hour longer in the meantime, too.
Right. I know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. It's a lot.
There is a lot of wrestling on television, but there may very well be less wrestling on television come this fall.
Oh, he has mastered the segue already. You indeed are talking about TNA possibly losing their deal with Spike TV.
Yes, I am.
I guess, is there a particular point of interest? I guess there are just so many things going on with the situation that I didn't feel like... I saw someone that we follow mention, like, oh, I don't know why everyone's dancing on TNA's grave, and I'm just like, I'm confused. I haven't really seen that. Like, I had mostly seen, oh shit, we're gonna have really no competition for the WWE. It was pretty much everything that I saw.
Right, yeah. Same I've seen. I mean, there's no one celebrating the possibility that people are gonna be out of work. You know, maybe there's people who think that, you know, the certain people in charge over there should not be in business, but I don't think anyone's dancing on the grave of the idea that there should be still be a number two promotion on national television.
Yeah, because, and I know I'll write it up, because after this week, ROH certainly does not deserve to ever be considered second for the rest of the year.
What went on that show? I haven't watched ROH in a long time.
Well, they have now gone 6 consecutive weeks without showing their new champion on TV. Or no, is it 5 this week?
Goodness.
I think it might be 5 this week. And it's just like, oh my gosh. Like,
oh, but don't worry. They did a new router taping just, I believe, last week, like an hour from me. I didn't know.
Yeah, they didn't talk me into it. For 5 seconds there, I thought that they were better than TNA, but... As maddening as TNA can be at times, they're still better off than ROH.
Yeah, unfortunately, but who knows? You know, who knows what the wrestling landscape is going to be? Who knows if, you know, ROH maybe in some form ends up slipping into that time slot? If, you know, Spike still wants to be in the wrestling business. Who knows? You know, put a fresh coat of paint on it, fix the lights. Get some new booking in. Who knows what could happen there? You know.
Well, I haven't minded their booking. They almost suffer from the opposite problem that the WWE and TNA do. Like, I still think that even with some of the cuts with the WWE, they could still probably get rid of a couple other people.
The roster actually. Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer were talking about that. The roster is kind of bloated for a 1-hour show and to put on, you know, 3-hour house shows and, you know, almost every other week, you know.
Yeah, so but ROH doesn't have enough depth whatsoever. And it's just like they can't have a mid-card because it's just not possible.
Right. I can see what you're talking about. Because I do, I still follow things. I still, read results and get lines. So yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that one.
So yeah, but even though TNA was had too big of a roster, at least they oh gosh, how am I gonna put this? I'm trying to be complimentary.
For most of their run, Russo was jamming 4 hours worth of stuff into a 2 hour show, so.
Yeah, I guess one thing that maybe I can say is that in some ways from on Spike TV's front, I understand, like, it's really kind of a maddening thing for them. Like, it does okay, but there's still a bit of a laughing stock too.
Right, exactly. I mean, these New York tapings, they have been better. The shows have been paced better. There's a good action, but at the end of the day, it's still TNA, and this is still a company that dragged an out-of-shape Gene Snitsky out of retirement to fly him to New York to work 3 days,
And he served no purpose
Exactly.
whatsoever. Like, they could have handled that beatdown without the two of them.
Right. They could have gotten anyone who lives within 20 minutes of New York City to do that run. They flew these two guys in. It's just ridiculous.
Well, the bigger problem to me is just that, because from all accounts, like, neither of them are staying around, correct?
Right, no. This was kind of a one-and-done type of deal.
And it's just like, I mean, I guess I don't think you need that altogether. That whole spot just isn't necessary, like, even to a local guy.
Right.
And they
No,
had the numbers already. Like, there's no reason to have even more numbers. Like
And of course, the small. Go ahead.
the Shield didn't need to add a fourth guy. They were just
Right.
fine at three. Like, they have a decent setup there. There was no reason, because they kind of ended up merging MVP and Dixie Carter's clans there. That's enough people.
Yeah, it is, and it's just it's just the way they do business. It's ridiculous. It's there is they'll never learn, and if someone else can slip into that spot and do a better job, and hopefully utilize a lot of maybe a lot of the same talent and a lot of some newer talent, maybe that is the best for the wrestling. Maybe it's the best thing for the wrestling business. Dixie Carter is out of it.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I'm like trying to be positive about it is that she has finally been scared straight. Like, to me, I'm not sure that it gets more rock bottom than having to respond to the multiple sources are confirming that Spike is going to cancel TNA. Even if they're just using it as a tactic, like,
Right.
that's not a good spot to be in, really.
No. I mean, they have trust has been broken. They can't. Spike TV cannot trust Dixie Carter's word at this point. And if you can't be in business with people you don't trust, and I think it's almost been proven that you can put anything with the name wrestling in that time slot on Thursday nights and do the same rating. I would not put it past ROH to be able to do it.
Oh, and you were talking about the improved lighting package. Honestly, like, if someone did give them more money and taught them how to use lights, since evidently they don't really know how to, You know, I mean, they could do better. Like, I don't think they'd need to play any bigger venues than they do already. But if you give them better lighting, the product as a whole would look better. And they could still travel around at the same locations that they do now because they don't even get that jam-packed.
But still, they do better than the typical TNA house show, which is just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I'm not even sure if I feel like chronicling, like, because now that I thought or had mentioned this being like maybe Dixie Carter's finally waking up to like a radical change, but I'm not sure what radical change they can really make.
12 years of failure here. You have to tear it down and rebuild it, and not have the same people in charge of the rebuilding process, really.
Yeah, I mean that's, I guess if I were Spike TV, that would be like the deal breaker for me. It's like, new, you just need to get some new people on board here. I want some consistent product. And I don't know why, like, they honestly don't have to swipe someone from the WWE. Please don't swipe someone from the WWE, actually. Get someone new or that hasn't gotten that kind of a stage before, maybe, and let them have a chance.
I agree completely. But once again, they went back to Russo. They had to hide him. He was writing the shows from home or consulting on the shows from home, but they went back to Russo again after they knew Spike TV didn't even, their television partner didn't even want him. What do you do with that? You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, and that's one of the other aspects that I kind of forgot about with the whole sale thing is, and no one's really brought it up, honestly. Like, it's for some reason that news was reported last week, was it? And
I mean,
then.
it's what you're thinking about. It's the stipulation in the contract that if Toby Keith would have bought the thing in the first place, that Dixie has to be kept on.
Oh, no. No. Like, when Russo was outed as the as one of the writers or whatever they're calling him, to when this news about Spike TV came out, like, I don't feel like many, it hasn't been more than 2 weeks, but no one's kind of referencing those two things together. Like, I mean, that's one whole situation, and I guess I kind of forgot about it myself.
According to Meltzer, it's a big reason. It may have been the last straw. I mean, it's all because Russo sent an email to the wrong Mike in his address book. A more fitting end, you can't. A more fitting end, you can't even write.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just not sure. Like, she just went back to the well again. Like, it's. You know, I guess it doesn't make any sense, or like that. I don't know why she would. Or maybe this is a good question. Do you think one of the reasons, if. I hate getting into too many ifs, and that's the problem here.
Right. That's insane. There's so speculation right now. We don't know any, we don't know anything until announcements are made or something really gets out. But yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I guess with that, with Spike TV, it's just got to be like this woman just isn't learning. Like, I mean, they've got to notice that all of these same wrestling guys that say that they can turn it around haven't been able to turn it around.
Right, no. No, they haven't. It's time to get some new creative blood. I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know who's got a good mind. Maybe maybe one of the wrestlers. Okay, maybe one of the young 30-something-year-old guys. I don't know. Maybe James well, Storm is smarter than a lot of people realize.
Upside down.
He started interviewing some people.
Okie dokie. yeah, you were saying that we don't know where any of the talent for the Rhino will come from, and I guess I don't have any ideas. Like,
right? No, I mean it's almost the point we just start interviewing people, just start interviewing everyone, and just see and just see what kind of ideas they have. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be amusing, I guess. Like, it seems like most of the wrestling websites now are run by older gentlemen who have been doing it for a while. So, I mean, I'm not sure that Wade Keller or Dave Meltzer or anyone like that would ever get a chance. But I guess it would be interesting to see someone in that kind of capacity. You know, that maybe had some type of managerial experience. Like, you'd obviously have to have done something more than write a blog, maybe.
you just crushed my hopes and dreams now.
Yeah, I crushed my own at the same time. Yeah, I mean, I guess it'd be kind of interesting. I would think that there's got to be someone out there that would be interested in doing that.
maybe go the Hollywood route. I don't know. It's you know, been a kind of an up and down thing for WWE over the years, but maybe that's the direction they need to go instead of these wrestling failures.
But you gotta love wrestling.
Yeah.
always my favorite argument. Well, yeah, we didn't want to get too far down the rabbit hole as far as the what-ifs go.
Right.
But now that it's been acknowledged that they still are negotiating, I guess, I mean, just from both ends, do you think this ends up changing in the long run? I mean, do you think that they end up reading a bunch of blogs that all say, please leave TNA there so that there's at least some type of alternative? Or do you, I guess we were talking about having ROH, or do you just keep on going, well, screw it, you're done. we are going to try a new brand here.
That's a very tough question. I mean, there's so many ways this could go. You know, is Spike TV trying to leverage, you know, the Carters to just sell to them outright, and do they have another brand? You know, waiting in the wings, where does Jeff Jarrett fit into all of this? Spike TV just want to have like, I mean, it's crazy speculation. Do they have someone like Jim Ross, you know, who's planning on, you know, creating something from the ground up that's going to be a Spike TV exclusive property? I don't know. There's a lot of ways this can go. So, no, I guess I don't want to speculate too much.
Yeah, that was one funny thing. Like, you had mentioned Global Force Wrestling. Like, for some reason, I was just, when I read that in Jeremy's article today, I'm like, huh, I completely forgot about them.
They have a website, that's about it, and some press releases that were written on Microsoft Word. with the typo, with the red typo lines, still in.
Oh, jeez.
There's gonna be a lot to talk about, and a lot to make fun of, so it's gonna be good for our business.
Yep. And, if that's all he can do after his big announcement and teasing it for several months on end, I would hope you'd be a little more prepared than that.
I mean, there's been nothing. No TV, no formal announcement of Toby Keith's involvement, so is he involved? I mean, they've given us nothing.
Yeah, because I think the one article mentioned that there isn't even a roster yet.
500 wrestler database or something. I don't know.
And yeah, great, fabulous. Right. Oh, what a bunch of Nimrods. You just want to see something that does well keep on continuing. I guess that's why when I compared my craft beers to small wrestling promotions, when I was writing about that, I was just like, God damn, I really do miss them. They made sense. Like, it wasn't, they never had a Prime Wrestling or Pro Wrestling Ohio. It was never a complicated storyline. The lighting was even worse than ROH's. The skill level was probably worse than ROH's too, as a general whole.
Right.
But the booking made sense. It built up, unless they had some unforeseen circumstances, like, you know, people not showing up to shows.
Right, right. I mean, it's unfortunate that the television landscape is where it is today, especially locally, where channels can easily make more money throwing out an infomercial than, you know, supporting their having a wrestling show going out in a studio for an hour on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, and that is all that they need, honestly. But, yeah, I mean, it's the sad truth. I mean, that's the other thing that I make fun of Ring of Honor, but it's also, you know, something else that's true. Their time slot is terrible. Like, it's 5 o'clock on a Saturday evening. And midnight.
I don't even know here in Detroit, so.
Well, the two times that it does air here in town, it's 5 p.m., Saturday afternoon and midnight between Sunday and Monday.
Prime time right there.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, there is definitely not a whole lot of support for wrestling. And I mean, I know that Prime Wrestling ran into some of those problems, like the I think they're gonna have to buy a bunch of lighting rigs and stuff like that. Like, they had gotten better lighting at some point when they got a better deal from Sports Time Ohio, but they were still behind what most people use, and they couldn't part of the problem was they couldn't afford the upgrade.
Yeah,
and I would imagine that is not cheap.
It's hard to make money in the wrestling business. It really is, and nowadays more than ever.
Yeah. I guess that's why the WWE is trying to get stuff everywhere all the time. And I can't really blame them. It's a good way to keep your name out there.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Is there really anything else to say about TNA? I mean, is there any, like, have you been watching it all?
I've been watching both weeks that they've come out of the New York tapings.
Oh, okay. Well, you did mention, that's right, because you did mention, you know, the slightly better shows. I guess that's one thing that maybe I could ask, is that, do you think that, who's the, and that's so sad that I don't even know who the champ is right now.
Lashley.
Oh, Lashley. To me, they have the, okay, somebody needs to hold the belt for a little bit because the last couple of people haven't. And the other part of me says, Lashley sucks.
Oh, he does, and it's...
Hey, so, should we just give the title to, Austin Aries and go from there.
We want to get into spoilers here.
Oh, see, yeah, I do not read
6 weeks of television. 3 nights, basically.
If you have the spoilers pulled up, it's a fair warning to everyone. You've heard the word spoilers now three times.
It's that much of a spoiler. Lashley wins.
it didn't seem like it, but that's kind of the other funny thing with TNA to me, is that I thought, they've had the belt change hands at some random taping anyway. Why wouldn't they just do it again?
Yeah. Aries becomes the first failure of Option C. They even let Chris Sabin held the title for a while last year. That was tough. That didn't work.
Yeah, and that was the funny thing, is that Option C is not analogous to Money in the Bank. But they kind of were trying to make it sound that way this year. Because you have to declare that you want the match. Like, you don't get to come in when some guy is beaten up and basically just pin him. So, I guess I don't quite understand why the writing was booked around that anyway.
Right. Yeah. It's TNA. Sometimes I just gotta say it's TNA.
Yeah. And I guess to me, Aries created the option. Last year, he intentionally got the belt. Oh, hold on. Did he lose his opportunity to Sabin, or did Sabin actually win it? Yeah, okay, I keep on.
Let's move on.
that does always seem to happen to everyone.
You just gotta shrug your shoulders and just throw your hands in the air and say, TNA, 12 years.
Bobby Lashley is not going to be the guy you hang your hat on.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we can move on. I know that there is at least one topic from Raw that Jeremy and I did not talk about that, definitely deserves to be talked about.
Yep. Yes, indeed. The most over babyface in the wrestling business, Brie Bella.
And I guess I'm just not sure on that. I've kind of read that today, and I do agree that the crowd was going bananas, but I just still have that feeling that a lot of it is just from the fact that she is Mrs. Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, absolutely. It has a lot to do with that. I mean, it's an excuse for people to chant yes. If you notice, they did not stop chanting yes, but Stephanie was leading it sarcastically either. So they just need to chant yes, yeah.
that was cracking me up when that was going on. So I guess to me it's a little hard to separate the actual angle from just the job that they really did do. Like, I guess it was very smart and strategic of them. I guess Triple H has been talking about Plan B. And I guess they had to go with Plan B, and it's working out pretty well.
I don't know if they would have gone with the mixed tag instead of the one-on-one match with just the women I'm assuming maybe they would have gone in that direction to avoid what. I mean, I don't think it'll be a bad match per se. Stephanie actually, granted, she's 10 years older than the last time she stepped in the ring, but she never. I don't think Stephanie ever embarrassed herself in the ring, and Brie isn't that bad. Lock out of her room with Finley for about the next 3 weeks, and I'm sure they can come up with something. They had a pretty good match.
Yeah, and for all of my disinterest in the angle, I mean, they have certainly done a good job of logically building the whole situation. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever. The Nikki Bella picking on stuff got a little old for a bit.
Oh, yeah. But that did. I'm glad that's over, and I just so hope this doesn't end with a Nikki Bella heel turn.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about TNA being bad. That would be just a silly one to pull, at least in this situation.
That's one where I'd hope that John Cena would put his foot down and say, I can't be dating a heel, you know, but you still have to do the Total Divas here.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, but I agree with you, too, to bring up one of your points there about the quality of the match. It should be a pretty decent match, because I had mentioned it when she was pleading not being conditioned or whatever, not having wrestled for 10 years. It's just like, you guys just made a big deal out of the muscle and fitness that you and Triple H were in. Like,
yeah, she's about twice Brie Bella's size, yeah.
Well, and...
Get muscle, I'm not saying fat.
Well, and she's just taller, too. I mean...
Yeah, that too, yes.
I'm not sure if Brie had heels on or not, but I still think that Stephanie is... Oh, well, why don't I go to the handy-dandy...
I think she's 5'9", because I always would remember when she was the general manager of SmackDown and Rey Mysterio went into her office, they would always make sure that she was sitting down.
Oh, you know, there's some things that I either don't remember talking about, or don't remember, or just didn't notice. And that's got to be one of them. So, yeah, that does make some sense.
Right.
Oh, come on. 5'9".
All right, I was right about Stephanie McMahon's height. I remember that. Why do I remember things like this?
I have no idea. And the Bellas are 5'6". So, yeah, she might have gotten a little extra height with some heels this past week, but Stephanie is a bigger woman, which should help in the build-up somewhat, too. And it definitely made that slap believable. Stephanie...
That's the thing, whenever we did the deal with... when they did the stuff with Stephanie and Trish, they went... it with the, you know, with the slapping, with the hair pulling, they went at each other, and I think this will be more of the same.
Yeah, they did a really good job with the pull apart brawl. I was more than amused to watch Jamie Noble get abused by Brie Bella.
Yeah, and the show goes off the air with the crowd chanting for Jamie Noble.
Oh man. Yeah, that was outstanding, because I'm like, what are they chanting? And I'm just like, oh my god. Oh. That
But no, I think that's the segment was it was really good at the definitely very good at the end. I don't, what you saw where they were going, maybe Stephanie's whining got a little long in the tooth, but other than that, no. The second, you know, she slapped her and hit that, you're going to be my bitch line. That's anything perfect gold.
Yeah. When Stephanie slapped her, because I didn't think it was very becoming of a baby face to really just have the arsenal of her ire just be swearing, pretty much, or at least as bad as the WWE is going to get at this point.
Yeah.
But
it's nowhere near TNA. You know,
oh.
Peak of the knockout era during Russo's writing room was where Skank and Ho was every other word.
Well, and they still just kind of crassly throw it out there. Everyone who is watching thinks that Stephanie's a bitch anyway, so, you know, TNA just, even now, they just kind of toss it around instead of using it for any type of emphasis, which, you know, the WWE, they don't bust it out that much, and it's always, or almost always, in that third hour when they do bust it out.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. they use it sparingly, and when they do, it can work. It doesn't work.
Yeah, well, I don't think it would have been that jarring to me in that situation if they did use it all the time. It would have been like, oh, okay, if it was the Attitude Era again, I would have just shrugged my shoulders. But
when two women are this mad at each other, they hate each other this much in real life, the word bitch is just going to go flying. I mean, that's reality. They're not going to dance around it. Call each other whatever the PG safe version is if they're in a, you know, in an argument at the supermarket or something, you know.
Yeah, well, and they should have. I mean, this thing has been brewing for quite some time, so they have some time for Brie to be a little more eloquent with things.
They're gonna do some. Obviously, they're gonna do some, two weeks for the promo work.
Oh, okay. What else was of interest? Was there anything of real interest to you that you wanted to go over there? I mean, we don't need to skip all the material that Jeremy and I talked about.
I think that, you know, the Roman Reigns beatdown was very well done. I think that, you know, Randy Orton needed the heat, and, you know, obviously going into a match with someone who's been pushed like Superman, you know, he needed to find his kryptonite, you know, in the build-up.
Yeah, despite making fun of it as being more boring than it needed to be, you described it perfectly, which is exactly what Orton needed. Orton really has been a bit of a lapdog for a while now. Like, it has to... A calendar year plus?
Yeah. Definitely lately. Definitely since he lost the title. He's definitely been in the lapdog role.
I even thought when he had the title some that he was a little too subservient to them. So, I mean, it's just been a long time with him. And that's just have his character actually get back to it. I mean, they keep on talking about him getting back there, and it's just like for some reason they don't pull the trigger on him actually getting back there.
Right. Yeah, Orton definitely... He refound the mean streak, and it's something really good for him, and good for Roman Reigns, and good for the match. Because otherwise, if they didn't heat up Orton, it would have been just a terrible, you know, build up going in. If they were too afraid to have Roman Reigns show any weakness. It would just be the most pointless match imaginable.
Well, and I guess that's another one that I guess I'd throw the early opinion behind that. Orton's matches usually are pretty solid. Like, he seems to be able to step it up when necessary. But I think that's what's going to test Roman Reigns at SummerSlam.
This will definitely be the biggest test for Roman Reigns as a singles wrestler. I mean, as long as Orton, you know, brings his A game, and, you know, there's no reason it shouldn't be good. Not at all.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of, well, I guess it would be nice to have Kane back in Randy Orton's back pocket just for some spare uses, I suppose. I'm not sure that he really needs it, honestly. Like, I think that'd be part of him going back to that badass character would be not getting help from someone like Kane.
Yeah, exactly right. Or he needs to go, you know, go and, you know, and have a competitive match with Roman Reigns, you know, by himself. And, you know, win or lose.
Oh, yeah. Let's see here. One other one that I skimmed by, I guess. I don't know. I just don't have that much for either of those two guys. The ladies are getting a lot of time these days. Are you enjoying what Paige and AJ are bringing to the Divas division?
I am a lot. I like what Paige's character is right now. I guess Paige is kind of like, I hear a lot of feedback. Okay, I really like what they're doing with Paige and AJ a lot. I like Paige's character right now. I don't know if you want to say that it's a little too close to Bo Dallas with the feigning of sincerity, but I think it's definitely working for her. I think that, you know, I guess if they're critical going with the point of which one is really more crazy, that might be a good story to tell.
I mean, it's actually two women who, they actually seem to have the package for wrestling. Like, AJ's been a good talker the whole time, but I feel like they've always been afraid to have her match up with anyone, because Natalya is really big, Beth Phoenix was really big, you know, everything was the Goliath against her. Paige is definitely bigger than AJ, but
everyone is, but not as big as most.
Right, and I don't know why, but I already feel like I've seen more wrestling out of AJ in any of her matches with Paige. Well, with these last couple of matches with Paige, than I have at any time during her tenure as champion.
Yeah. I think they definitely work well together. I think they're building something at SummerSlam that could, I don't want to say steal the show, because I think there's going to be quite a few good matches, but I think it'll definitely earn its place on the card.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to put any bets on any matches aside from the inevitable Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins match as far as show stealers go.
Oh, yeah. That match will be tremendous. When it finally happens as an advertised match on pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was another thought that cracked me up. Jeremy had mentioned it. I hadn't been paying attention to the pay-per-view schedule, and I didn't realize how close, It's so bad that I'm forgetting what the most recent pay-per-view was.
Battleground.
Oh yeah, Battleground. To SummerSlam, because that was one of those things is just like, oh, okay, we've got to get these storylines off and running for Battleground. And then all of a sudden they mentioned this week, 3 weeks until SummerSlam, and I'm like, holy shit, really? Another 3 week turnaround?
Oh, no.
But it was a four.
This is four. Yeah, this is four, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, Battleground certainly turned into a show that they needed to get through. And they had to make a late, decided to make a late decision not to hold off on doing Rollins versus Ambrose. They decided not to tell the viewer that before the show started.
Well, I feel like they punted on a couple of them, because we're going to get another Jack Swagger versus Rusev match. Really, the Reigns versus Orton match in some ways is a repeat, because it really should have happened had everyone not gotten tossed against John Cena.
Right. I think that was also supposed to happen at Battleground, but then they decided to run with the four-way. And, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, right now, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns is going to be, but looks like to be the number three match at SummerSlam, which went behind Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella. I would have thought that day would come, but here we are.
Well, they do have... well, I mean, we've already mentioned two women's matches that they have, and they love to insert one in between two of the main events. And I would not be surprised if that's Brie Bella versus Stephanie McMahon. I mean, it'll be a pretty hot crowd, but it'll give people a little bit of a break.
I'm not sure about that one. I think that they will try to put it towards the middle, because in many ways it will probably be maybe no less than the second hottest match on the show, depending on you know I guess how much Rollins and Ambrose bring in.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever, we still have yet to see a card. I'm just, I guess I don't need to get ahead of myself that far.
Right.
What other little nooks and crannies were there from Raw there? Oh, jeez. I just feel bad for my boy Dolph Ziggler.
I do too. I mean, he's getting... He won 2 weeks in a row. When was the last time that happened?
Oh, and I will thank Layla L. and Summer Rae for getting me my new picture for my post. I appreciate Slayer Woman being up there.
That was... they were quite fetching.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's another one that it's a decent act to have around. I don't know what it'll do exactly, but it's a decent act to have around.
But the whole thing with Fandango, though, it's getting a little much for me. It's turning into almost like a bullying and torture storyline here. That doesn't even be a star.
Yeah, they could use to have them move on, which I hope they do after SummerSlam here. I would imagine that's another feud that carried through Battleground just to get to SummerSlam, probably the pre-show.
Right, yeah. I don't see that making the main show. I'm not sure exactly all of what's going to make the main show. Sheamus hasn't been on Raw in the last 2 weeks. I don't know if there's
going to
be a
U.S.
title
match. Oh, man. Yeah, and I guess we didn't even get around to... I guess to me it was the highlight of the show. To, I guess, refocus at least a little bit on Raw and less on Oh, I still can't believe Sheamus hasn't been on the last 2 weeks. But Jericho versus Rollins.
Very good match, but a terrible finish. Same Wyatt beatdown. They always do. There's no change to it. When the Wyatt swarm someone and beat them down, it does not have the same panache as when the Shield would do it.
Yeah, it's because it's the lights out, lights on, and they're suddenly there. I think it was kind of fun seeing the guys come through the crowd.
Yeah, definitely. They certainly had style.
Yeah,
but,
you have a little dread, but I guess this was just one of those matches to me that... because I'm still at least defending the wrestling in the WWE, and to have Jericho wrestle Rollins, I know that he's going on tour probably after SummerSlam here, because I know I'm going to the concert when Fozzy comes here to Columbus. And, hold on, where was I going with Jericho jobbing... Oh, what was my line of thought?
I don't know, but I mean, do you think that this Jericho Wyatt feud is working? Is it just kind of this?
Oh,
is Bray Wyatt getting to the point where it's just the same? You know, his promos the same. You know, philosophical mumbo jumbo, and all of his feuds. There's some things starting to get really. This is really starting following the formula of the Cena feud almost to a T at right now. Right down to the babyface winning the first match.
That's why I still figure that Jericho's doing the job at SummerSlam and going to play with Fozzy. So at least the.
Night of Champions in September, so they'll get a rubber. They'll get a rubber match out of it then.
Oh, okay. Well then, yeah. I mean, if Bray Wyatt beats him twice, or beats him not clean this time, and then beats him clean at Night of Champions, then we have something at least.
What does it mean to be Jericho anymore? He has done so many jobs in the last 5 years of his career. It's really not a great accomplishment.
Yeah, I still think that people buy into the hype, and just because they like Jericho in general, they believe that he's the big deal still. So, I definitely understand what you're saying, because he has done a lot of jobs. I guess I still think the win is worth something, but they do need to... Bray Wyatt's character and the Goldust and Stardust right now, to me, are kind of in the same group. That I enjoy what they're doing, but I'm still not sure that it fully transfers or, is kind of really getting to where the WWE needs something like that to be. Like, it's
very art house, and I don't know if art house translates to pro wrestling.
I think that's part of the problem. And I guess I don't know why Wyatt can't be less complicated about it, but still come off in the same manner.
Right, I agree with that completely. This is the second time he has not fully formed, seen a few, he has not fully formed his reasons why he hates this man.
Yeah, and I guess that would be interesting to know how much of that is on his shoulders and how much of it is just him, you know, taking orders and doing what he can.
So yeah, but yeah, I think it's becoming an issue because as I said, the Cena feud and the Jericho feud are so similar.
Yeah, and I mean, it's still, I guess to me, weird that he just kind of has this weird dichotomy in his character, that it's just like everyone cheers the entrance, but then they try to make them boo him all the time after that.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm still not sure why they added the part where, you know, on the Tron, he actually says the name of the city, because that's an obvious, you know, cheap pop.
For those of you at home, I was giving Chris the Mick Foley thumbs up.
Oh, yes. I can see what I knew what it was.
Oh, visual humor comes to Stunt Granny.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just silly. And I mean, I don't know why people just don't boo. Like, if they're going to boo the rest of the time, I don't quite get cheering. But it kind of goes back to a point that you mentioned earlier, is that people just kind of want to do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so it's just like, the WWE has created this entrance that people get to play along with, and they're like, well, okay, our job's done.
That's very true. It has a lot to do with it. But then when the bell rings, there's sometimes, you know, periods of Bray Wyatt matches of just pure silence.
Oh. Yeah, it's because he hasn't been a threat, and I mean, that is a bit of a problem. You know, he needs to move on from Jericho and beat someone that's on the roster. And I always thought that was the weird thing to me about the Cena feud, is that I understood how they created the feud with Cena wanting someone young to step up. But Wyatt's character was just still so fresh that, you know, you knew he wasn't really going to go over on Cena, so what was the point of teaming them together?
Right, yeah. I don't think it really elevated Bray Wyatt. It did not. It did do what for him what it should have. And I'm not sure exactly whose fault that is.
Well, Chris, I'm not sure that either of us can solve that problem.
Yeah.
But we have solved a lot during this show.
We have. And I definitely wish you the best of luck trying to piece this whole thing all together with all the technical interruptions we've had.
Well, I think everything's okay. I don't think I have any piecing to do. I do believe I have some of my own cheap pops, which are at DeFrango11, at Chris Calamedia, at Stunt Dusty, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Granny. Like us on Facebook, and well, I'll let you take us out again then.
All right, it was good talking to you, man. Some great discussion here. Definitely hope to get on a weekly groove here of talking to you and putting out this audio greatness.